así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war.
It's a war.
Welcome to Chicago Food Talk. I'm your host, Big Joe, and today I am in the Toronto area with Steve, and he's going to be telling me how to make Toronto-style pizza.
All right, so you take a dig.
Why are you talking like you're from Chicago if you're in Toronto?
Listen here. I'm an expat, you idiot.
Expat? You like the Pats? You
no,
got
I don't
a Bears
like
fan. Not a Pats fan.
Now look at this. I'm a fan of Pat B.
I'm an expat. I mean, I'm an ex lover of the Pat B of the Pat Retro Video Game Review Podcast.
It's impossible. You never stop loving Pat.
What's wrong with this pizza? There's all this little sausage all over the place. What you need is you need a sausage patty. The entire pizza should just be covered by one layer of sausage. If not, this is ridiculous.
No, there's onions too.
Oh yeah, you gotta put the onions on top. Actually,
and green peppers. So it's just a sausage patty, and then there's onions and green peppers on it.
Yeah, that sounds delicious, except for the fact that green peppers give me gas. But then again, because my gastrointestinal tract is so screwed up because of Chicago, everything gives me gas.
Water gives me gas.
I get gassy just drinking the water down there. Oh, man. I had a gyro pizza the other day.
Was the tomato sauce replaced with tzatziki sauce?
It was.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was pretty decent. It gave me the worst stomach pains I've ever had in my life. I was like, oh God, I can't feel my limbs.
That's a lot of heavy food.
I was like on the floor, kind of just clutching my sides, and my wife was like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, just put something good on TV for me. I'll be okay. Welcome to my life. Also, welcome to Chicago, which is a pleasant, balmy 10 degrees out right now.
Yeah, and, you know, there's snow.
It's a winter wonderland. We went from 50 degrees yesterday to 10 degrees today. And
supposedly, yeah, almost a foot of snow. And supposedly, on Tuesday, it's going to be 50 again.
Yeah, no crap. And then all the snow is going to melt, and it's going to go right into my crawl space, and then it's going to flood again. God damn it.
Well, that sounds like your problem.
It is really my problem. It's an issue. It's something that we have. We have a lot of leakage in our house, both anal and
leakage,
and through my crawl space. Hey everyone, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host Joe, and with me as always is the
Darth Maul to your Jar Jar Binks.
Yes, Steve. Have you seen this Darth Jar Jar bullshit that's been going around?
It's so fucking stupid.
It's the most ridiculous thing. And the problem is everyone's right, like, let's rewatch episode one, man.
Let's just throw this out there immediately. Fucking fuck Star Wars. Seriously.
Well, we're going to talk. We get to talk about Star Wars hate just a little bit today.
Oh, my fucking God, dude. I'm fucking on tilt about it at this point.
You know, I think I had a theory about this, in that I think a lot of the problem with. Did I bring my pop in? I think I brought my pop in.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my
pop in fresh?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of the problem is it's generational. Like, you have all these wiener kids who grew up watching the original trilogy thinking that it's good.
Well, I think you have people our age with kids who are like shoving their kids' faces in it, just being like, well, "Be me, like what I like. Be me."
There is that.
Transformers. You like Star Wars. You like Ghostbusters. Be me.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. No, but what I'm saying is that there's this generational issue, and like, so you get to these, you go online, you see something about Star Wars, and then like people are always just like, "I really liked the first three," and
I'm like, "Can't wait to see Kylo Ren use his lightsaber."
I'm just like, "Ugh, you kids, you grew up in the worst time for movies ever. The 2000s were just a."
Well, actually, there's people who are our age who hadn't seen Star Wars at all.
Yeah, well,
and when they watch all six, almost universally, they're all just like, "Well, the first three were way better than the last three."
Well, that's, you know, if you are our age and you never saw Star Wars, there is a lot more wrong with you than just that.
I mean, I feel bad for having seen Star Wars. I wish I had just seen nothing but Star Trek. They could be like, what? I don't believe it. I don't believe it in any of that stupid space wizardry. All you need is a good, all you need is a good phaser by your side, kid.
Exactly. A phaser and a communicator.
Yeah, that's right.
And
phaser, communicator, and diplomacy. That's all you need.
Exactly. Hardcore Kirk-style diplomacy. Kirk diplomacy is the best because he's always just like...
It's an axe handle.
It's like, this is your way of life. Your way of life is wrong. This is the way you should live your life.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Punch in the face.
We get the knee. There's the Kirk combo.
Yeah.
It's the punch, the knee, and then when they're doubled over, it's the overhand axe handle on the back.
Well, I always thought it was more of a punch than a karate chop than over the hand.
There might be a karate chop.
I think there's a karate chop in there somewhere. Because, as we all know, the most superior form of martial arts combat is karate.
Karate.
So what do we want to talk about first? We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, well, the listeners delivered with the
Well, yeah, we got the mailbag. It's the mailbag. The mail sack.
Mail sack. Mail sack. I feel a lump. Mail sack. Uh-oh.
I kind of want to record that as like the intro to the whenever we do the mailbag. Yeah, but we got a I think we should talk about the big news that happened right after us. It was really funny. Like, we put up the podcast, and then like on the Monday after, all of a sudden this letter starts circulating about how
Special Ass Games
is coming back. And I was like, no, this can't be real. Like, it comes out of Australia. Nothing good comes out of Australia except Paul Hogan.
What about Vegemite?
Vegemite's terrible, dude.
I don't know.
I mean, like, it's,
I mean, I know the UK guys always fight with the Australian guys about the Vegemite Marmite thing. Yeah.
Well, it's just leftover beer yeast. That's all it is. It's just like what they scrape off the bottom, which is kind of why Australia likes it so much. Oh, take that, Australia. I shouldn't say that because we have a lot of listeners in Australia.
So then what's Marmite? If Vegemite's the leftover beer scrapings, then what's Marmite?
I think it's the same thing. It's like literally.
So you're telling me that there's one machine that like is firing loads into these bottles, and one bottle just says Vegemite and another bottle just says Marmite.
Pretty much.
So people can fight over it, even though it's the same thing.
And you know, we're going to say this, and then we're going to get like, no, dude, Marmite has, you know, it's saltier. It has more jism in it. You know, it has the Queen's leavings in it. So.
Now, is it the Queen's front leavings or back leavings?
Both.
Ooh,
it's a mix. That's why it gets that spicy aftertaste.
Well, then.
We just insulted the Queen.
We're really ahead of the game here.
Yeah, we're insulting everyone. Insulting all the colonies in the Commonwealth.
We're the colonies, I thought.
Well, not anymore. We got rid of that. 1776, mother. USA. USA.
You mean a bunch of pissed off old rich slave owners who didn't want to pay their taxes?
Exactly.
That's right.
Going through that again.
What, woo! A bunch of rich slave owners who don't want to pay their taxes.
Yeah.
Sounds like America.
Except we're the slaves this time.
That's true. But Joe, we aren't technically owned. We're just owned.
Yeah. Wage slaves. Yeah. Welcome to Politic Talk.
Politicast. If it weren't for Obama's America, there wouldn't be a single problem if we had just voted Republican every time. Because then nothing bad has ever happened to America with a Republican in office. And as a matter of fact, America's a goddamn golden utopia when the Republican is in office. There's money flying out of everyone's asshole.
I wish.
And then you put a goddamn communist into the office. Communist Muslim.
Kenyan
communist Muslim. Yeah. I wish I was just like, you know, like being humorous, but there's fucking people who just
lots of people
literally like, yeah, that's all true.
Every once in a while, like, I got friends on Facebook that I'm like, they're not very political at all, you know, but every once in a while I'll see that they like a post and I'm like, oh man, come on.
It's like, I don't like you anymore.
It's like, really? This is what you think? And it's not like anything like super. Like, it's not like something that you can make an argument for. And, you know, there's a lot of political arguments that I could be like, well, I see where you're coming from on this. This time it's like something like, oh, really? Like, it's like a fake, like, student ID of like Obama that says he's from Kenya. And I'm just like, come on, dude. Like, really? At this point, like, the guy's going to be out of office in like 6 months. Let's move on here. Anyway, so yeah, the special.
Very, very dumb.
The special ass games came from out of Australia, and everyone was just like, I was like, no, It can't be. This is obviously some sort of Australian April Fool's Day joke, or whatever they call it, like Wallaby Day or something down there. This can't be a real thing. And I actually, you know, and then I started getting like a little more traction, because I actually wrote when someone put it on our Facebook page. I'm like, this can't be real. I highly doubt it. Mm-hmm. And then it started gaining more traction in a couple different sites and some places that I trust.
I knew it was true once I saw it on Tabletop Gaming News.
Yeah, and then I texted my contact inside the GWs, and I'm just like, what is up with this? Is this a real thing? And he goes, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I'm like, wow, bringing back the specialist games. But apparently, I think a lot of people are reading way more into it. Basically, what it is when Games Workshop is doing those one-off box sets, kind of like Assassatorium or mm-hmm. Assassatorium or something like that, or like what they did with like Dreadfleet or stuff like that,
yeah.
Space Hulk. They're basically they're making a separate design company that's going to be cranking out box set games.
Right.
They figure,
which is ideal.
Yeah, because they're actually, it's one of their more profitable ventures is these one-off box games that they're doing. So I have a feeling that you're going to start seeing these one-off box games that are more geared towards what used to be considered specialists. And you're not going to see Fantasy. You're not going to see Warmaster. You're not going to see Mordheim.
Don't count on Warmaster. There might be a boxed Warmaster game.
No, there's not, because they killed off that universe. They're not going back to that. Unless they did like an Age of Sigmar Master.
I mean, let's just throw this out there for a second. If they're fully committed to, and they're not producing resculpts, if they're doing new stuff, Epic has those little square bases that have circle holes. If you just make Age of Shitmar guys, they have a little square base with circle holes.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not outside the realm of possibility, but I highly doubt it. You're not going to see Mordheim. You're not going to see, because it's outside. They're no longer in the timeline. That's all destroyed.
But maybe they just don't give a fuck.
It could very well be. But
I mean, you could say that, like, you could argue, like, well, Horus Heresy board game would never happen because the current timeline is 10,000 years afterwards.
Oh, no, that totally would happen, because they know that they got lots of money on
that.
Well,
yeah, but they would have lots of money if they released a complete boxed Warmaster game, or if they re-released Battle of the Five Armies.
That's never going... Well, Battle of the Five Armies might happen.
Yeah, you can't say never going to happen.
Because...
They specifically said Middle Earth.
They specifically said, yeah, they said Lord of the Rings, which I found was like, what?
Yeah, my boner popped when I read that.
Well, mainly because I had heard that GW was dropping the license finally. That was...
I guess you heard wrong.
I did. I must have heard wrong. So, yeah, the license, I guess they're going to keep it in, like, a limited fashion or something like that. They're probably just renegotiating so that they...
What they're doing is they're... Because I don't know what their licensing covers or encapsulates, but... they don't need to produce anything from the first three movies ever again.
No, they don't.
They just don't. Like, they don't need to do anything new. So they can probably negotiate, like, a terms thing so they just have what they've already done and, like, not pay any extra or more. I don't know how that kind of shit works. I'm not an IP lawyer.
Yeah. Well, I know the current contract is every model that they produce, every piece that they produce, the Tolkien estate gets like a chunk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of the figures were single piece models, so that, or like sprues, so that they only had to pay on the sprue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why I know they moved away from a lot of the metal figures with the bits on them to just single sculpt models.
Which, I mean, is way better for miniatures games. I'm way more into the single sculpt stuff, because it's just... When you need more, like, when you need a lot of models, any game there you'd have more than, like, 25 guys, like, I'm a big fan of fucking single sculpt.
No, I agree. But, yeah, they're talking about this. More than likely, what you're going to see is you're probably going to see Horus Heresy...
single piece. I don't mean single sculpt.
I know what you're talking about. It's early. We're recording early today, because I'm going to a family thing at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Nice day for it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they're doing the Christmas around the world thing, so you get to see all the trees and all.
You're a Christmas around the world.
I am a Christmas around my dick. What? Rocking around Joe's cock tonight. It's happy holiday.
I mean, do you use those mini ornaments?
Yes. A lot of garland.
Tinsel?
Tinsel. I spray it with, like, the fake snow.
Finally.
Yes. No, you're probably going to end up seeing Battlefleet Gothic coming back, either in modern 40K or in Horus Heresy. You're going to see Epic come back for sure. You know, it's about time Epic came back. It's been that time. So
Epic was always a deeply flawed game, because the thing you wanted to be good in Epic were not good.
Epic,
like, you wanted Epic to be like about the Titans and like the big shit, like the super heavies, the stuff you normally don't play with in 40K unless you're extraordinarily wealthy or insane or very poor because you spent all your money on Forge
World.
Well,
everyone, but then, now that's the bitter irony of it. Is
all
that,
of those things suck in Epic. Yeah. Epic, you win with the fucking shitty ass infantry. So
yeah, well, that's the bitter irony is that everything, all those big shit that you wanted in Epic that made Epic cool now exists in 40K.
Yeah, people want them.
Yeah, but no,
and for as expensive as the Games Workshop models are, the big ones, they are still very, very cheap compared to Forge World equivalents.
Yeah, so. But yeah, you're probably gonna see Epic. You're probably gonna see Battlefleet Gothic. As I say, you're probably not gonna see anything fantasy related.
You never know.
They're killing. They are killing off that brand. I don't know why, but they are.
You never know. I think it would be very smart for them to actually just keep fantasy living in the IP.
Yeah.
Which is, I thought it was kind of weird because I always thought the Warhammer fantasy IP was like decently valuable. Yeah. At least more valuable than fucking Age of Shitmar. I mean, Warhammer is generic fantasy, like for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much that's actually unique about Warhammer. I can't think of anything that's particularly unique about Warhammer other than like their like Sigmar is like not unique, but like their version of their like hero god who's like running around. Like that's pretty.
Well, what I always liked about the fantasy IP was that it was very, very, it was a very simplistic. Like it was always like the history was pretty easy to learn. You never had to worry too much about it, but it was flavorful. Like it had enough, it was simplistic but flavorful enough so that you were able to like have fun putting your shit together. So like a good example is orcs, for example. You know, like, yeah, orcs are just generic orcs, but they had like that Cockney accent to them, and they were always, you know, you get to have fun while playing them with their, you know, relatively
arguable. like the problem with orcs, and this has always existed with orcs, is like they
are the worst army book.
They give them fun rules, but their fun rules are really just bad rules.
Yeah.
Like, oh, your unit just doesn't do anything because you rolled a one. How are you liking your orcs? Idiot.
Idiot.
Yeah. The army's really expensive because you need to buy a fuck ton more models than your friend who's playing Chaos. Oh, and he's going to beat the shit out of you every game.
Yeah. I mean, like, but anything, any of those armies, you could always just have fun putting it together, at least. You know, you could theme it out to, like, you know, what you want and still make it relatively competitive depending on the army that you're playing. But they, you know, that got killed the further you got from 6th edition. But that was what I always liked about it. It was that, and it was marketable. You had figures that, or, like, you know, characters and stuff like that you could... Mm-hmm. Do stuff about
France,
yeah, and still and make them notice memorable, so to speak. You had a very good IP on something that was very, very, very generic. I mean, I always liked the fantasy novels. Like, they were really good, quick reads. They were, you know,
yeah, I read a few of them. They were awesome. There was I think I talked about it before on the Classy, but there was one that was fucking great. It was like told from a perspective of this dude who falls to chaos. And he has, like, one of his champions is a corn champion, and, like, they build up this corn champion being, like, fucking badass, like, through many, like, chapters and how amazing of a warrior he is. And when they finally get to the big battle, they're running, and he gets hit by a cannonball immediately and dies. Like, he's fucking blown away before he does anything.
Well, yeah, and
that was pretty great. I was like, that's awesome.
The Felix and Gotrek novels were always kind of fun.
Whoever wrote but that's the thing. That moment in that book, that's a Warhammer tabletop moment.
Yeah.
That's when you're just like, oh, yeah, dude, I just fucking took this Chaos Lord. He's got fucking 300 points of gear. I'm just fucking, he's the most bullshit fucking combo I could come up with. And the Empire dude's just like, I guess 3 inches with this cannon. Oh, my artillery scatter's good. You look out, sir. And you're like, I failed my look out, sir. They're like, oh, D6 wounds. Your fucking guy's dead. I sniped him with a cannon. And I'm just like,
D6
that's,
strength.
That's thematic. Let me just take my fucking model off the table, you piece of shit.
D6 strength, 10 hits. Oh, I rolled a 6. Yeah. But yeah, that's the and the nice thing was that all the novels were based off like someone else's novels. So it's like, oh, this is just a Sherlock Holmes novel, or this is just, you know, Elric of
Melbourne.
Yeah, Elric of Melbourne. You know, it's all simple generic stuff. Yeah, thank you for yawning on the podcast, Steve. I'm glad, you know, people could be listening.
I mean, I'm just helping the audience follow along.
Follow, pretty much. But yeah, the fantasy stuff is dead. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a Battlefleet Gothic box set. That's the one that everyone's talking about, so I'm assuming
I am going to throw it out there and say that there definitely will be fantasy specialist games.
Ooh, well,
I'm going to counter you.
I think that a re-release of the Battle of Five Armies box set would be pretty cool.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that a lot.
Speaking of Battle Five Armies, did you see the extended edition?
Not yet. Oh, man. I usually get that at Christmas.
Oh man.
Did you see what Peter Jackson just came out and said?
No.
He's like, I had no idea what I was doing in those movies. Was like, I'm making it up on the fly. We just did it all in post.
It's so good. The extended edition is fucking great.
Well, I hope to watch that soon. So
yeah, I highly recommend it. It did nothing but improve, and I could tell why it was rated R. There's some fucking gore.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably end up watching that over Christmas break or something like that. But yeah, if they put them out in like limited runs, like with the Battle Five Armies, okay, we're only making 2,000 box sets. I'm sure that those would sell. I mean, that Assassatorium sold out.
Yeah, and that has like 13 models in it.
13 models, and only 4 of them are new sculpts. So go fuck yourself if you bought that, because what else?
Only wanted the 4 new sculpts.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was only like $100.
They've got to have those assassins.
Assassins. I needed them for my Imperial Guard army.
Now they should be super salty, though, because the 4 assassins are available separately.
Are they really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Lord knows I don't pay enough attention to 40K.
Yeah, they're available separately. I still have the Games Workshop newsletter. So.
Do you?
Yeah, I do still see the stuff that comes out. Well, I like to see it. I like to see when their random shit comes out. I'm like, oh, that's kind of, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
Also, I need to know what to properly shit on and how to shit on it.
By the way, we got a new review on a podcast, and I wanted to mention this.
Nice. Is it a 1-star?
It is a 1-star from Major Havoc, and it was from earlier this month. Hard to take seriously from a gaming point of view. More of a comedy show where they bash just about everything. Yeah, that's pretty much what our podcast is. I don't know why you're giving us 1-star.
Oh, I love the 1-stars.
I don't, because they do. I mean, like, it's...
Was that it? That was the whole review?
That was it. 1-star, yeah. We just bash.
What?
Yeah.
All right, see, now that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
That is not an acceptable 1-star review.
No, not at all. No, and we are a comedy podcast, and we try to avoid talking about gaming as much as possible.
We try to be humorous about games, because, people take games very seriously, and that's funny.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do.
It's funny to see people like shouting at the top of their lungs at each other when they're trying to play Adepticon, and I'm just like, you play 40K.
Well, I can't fucking wait for Adepticon this year. It's actually, I think, a couple days now they're going to open up the ticket sales.
I think so.
Yeah, and they're, of course, Adepticon is always just like, everyone just takes it so fucking seriously. I can't wait to see the Age of Sigmar tournament. I cannot wait.
Is that a thing? Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, they're having an Age of Sigmar tournament. Funny. Yeah, hold on just 1 second. Yeah, I'm back.
Right. Very good. Your pee was good?
My pee was good. Yeah, but yeah, they're going to do an Age of Sigmar tournament. I even think they're doing a fantasy tournament. I don't know what rule set they're going to use. I haven't really looked too deep into it.
Hopefully I'll have Smaug done by then.
You'll have Smaug? Yeah, did you get him yet?
I do have him.
Well, how come you haven't shown him to me?
Well, it's just a box.
It's just a box.
It's nothing to show yet.
Box. I'm not going to show you anything that's in the boxes.
I want to show it to you when it's done.
Well, okay. That's tabletop.
That's the whole thing. Well, yeah, obviously. I don't care if you think it's the best fucking model you've ever seen. You'd better say it's tabletop.
I just like the fact that you're going to sit there and paint the entire model with a brush.
Well, I actually have a. So here's my because I don't want to get an airbrush just for Smaug. Yeah. Like, I know airbrushes are great. I've seen all the shit you can do with airbrushes, but for me, for what I need, like, an airbrush would be. Like, I'd be able to do, like, a couple models with it, and I'd be like, sweet, I did these 2 models with it. And then I'd be like, man, I'd spend a lot of money on this airbrush for that.
Yeah, I love my airbrush.
Sure, I think it's a great tool, and I've seen all the stuff with it, and it seems very useful. But for me, for what I personally do, I don't think it's really what I need. If I was someone who painted a lot of big models or a lot of vehicles, I would definitely have it. And I know you can use it on armies and stuff, but...
Yeah, I use it to base coat all my shit.
Right. But I've been using colored sprays to do my base colors for the longest fucking time, and I've never had an issue with them. So, it's fine. And I don't do the gradients and shit, so whatever.
Smaug.
Now, for Smaug, my plan is...
Smaug.
He's red. He's, like, he's supposed to be brighter on the bottom.
Yo, he's gold on the bottom, ain't he?
Right, brighter on the bottom. Well, he's not exactly gold, but yes, he's bright on the bottom. His middle, mid-tone is red, and then like the top of him is black.
Ooh.
That's what his like coloration is going to be. So my plan is I'm going to spray the model red.
Yes. Just
spray it all red, and then I'm going to get some gloves, and I'm going to hold the fucking thing, and I'm going to take like a bone spray and just like kind of hit the bottom with that while holding it in my hand. And okay. Then I'm going to, you know, after that dries, I'm going to get a new glove, hold it from the bottom, and I'm going to spray the top with a dusting of black, like give it a go there. Then I'm just going to use like wet brushing and dry brushing to do the whole fucking model, because the model is so textured. Like actually hand painting it isn't the thing.
Texture.
It's very textured.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Tell me more about this texture.
It's super scaly, like crazy textured.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to end up producing a pretty decent result.
I look forward to seeing it because I didn't even know that you got the damn model.
Yeah, I got it, baby.
We have a gaming podcast.
I keep my purchase a secret.
Yeah, no crap.
Oh, how about this, though? Take a look at my Lamentations of the Flame Princess collection.
Where's that at? Oh, that's nice looking.
Yeah, Red and Pleasant Land, Carcosa. I have just about every book now.
That Carcosa book's big.
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
That's cool looking.
Yeah, I got Red and Pleasant Land for $30.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and because you were talking about like... Yeah,
it's like $55 on Amazon right now.
Yeah. So. Good for you.
Yeah, I was very excited when I found it.
Yeah.
That was a Noble Knight purchase from Wisconsin. Shout out to Noble Knight. They have fucking everything.
Oh, yeah, they're up in Noble Knight up in Wisconsin. If you're ever taking a trip up to Madison, it's worth it to stop by there.
I don't think they're north enough to be Ubers.
Not quite, no. Yeah. That's all Wisconsin to me.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's a terrible, terrible wasteland of a state.
I mean, it's not worse than Illinois.
It's a land of cheese.
Illinois is fucking miserable.
Yes. Well, outside of the Chicago radius, yes, Illinois is a very, very miserable state. It's like the opening of The Walking Dead. That's what I always compare it to. Like that, you know, when they're showing like all like the abandoned places, like that's just Illinois in and of itself.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yes. All right. So I think it's time for our mailbag. Mail sack.
Mail sack. Mail sack. I'm checking the sack. Oh no, there's a lump. Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's hear what you got to say, you chump.
It's not as quite as good as I like it when it was like fill a lump. Uh-oh.
I was trying to make it a little more commercial, you know. I mean, we want to get it on the air, but I guess if you fucking can't Don Draper me, fucking give me the questions.
All right, so if you want to get in contact with us whenever we do the mail sack, it's a
Facebook.
You'll see us on the Facebook page. So if you're a fan of us on the Facebook, you get to, this will pop up about every 5 or 6 casts.
It'll pop up whenever we don't have any ideas.
When I have no ideas, that's usually it. So the first one's from Timothy Franklin. Oh, fuck. Okay. This is it. This is my game. Number one, if you had to fit one entire specialist game miniature line up your butt, which one would it be?
You first.
I would probably go Gothic.
Okay. Nope. Why?
Mainly because they're kind of penis-shaped ships as is, and the ones that aren't penis-shaped are kind of smooth, so I think it would be okay. And there's not a lot of stuff for Gothic.
Oh, there's all the Forge World stuff, baby. There's a lot of stuff for
Gothic. I don't
know.
I wouldn't include the Forge World stuff.
Gotta. It's part of the game.
Okay, but still, that's just resin.
My answer is Necromunda.
Oh, Necromunda.
Because, one, Necromunda is the smallest specialist games range.
Yes.
There's very few models. And, two...
War hamster.
That's true. War hamster is tiny.
Yeah, but there's a lot.
But there's a lot of sprues.
Yeah,
they would be easier to fit in individually.
Yes.
So war hamster would be easier to fit in individually. Necromunda has less models. However, Necromunda is shit, and it belongs in an asshole.
Oh
yes.
So here's my thing that I would say with that is that Necromunda has all that plastic terrain that's part of the Necromunda range. So that's some big stuff.
Well, it wasn't plastic. It was fucking paper.
No, well, there was the plastic. There was plastic attached to it. Yes.
Oh, there were the grates.
Yeah, the big grates and stuff like
that.
Hey,
I mean, you got to stick those space stations up your ass for Battlefleet Gothic.
I was thinking this wrong, but I'm thinking like I might change to Epic just because like if I only have to fit one of each model up there, usually the models were very, you know, small and they were all individual.
Oh, no, you got to put units up there.
They got to put the whole unit up there?
Unit there with the square, with the square,
square
base.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll stick with this guy.
And then the Titans.
Oh, yeah, the Titans, yeah.
Yeah.
But they, at least they break really apart, you know. You can put the model pieces individually or you have to put it assembled.
I think you have to put it in assembled.
Ah.
Yeah.
See, this is just, this is like a Sophie's choice, man.
I got to go with the smallest amount. I mean, you're going to die no matter what of the blood loss.
Yeah, well, yeah. So. and the impacted colon.
Well, yeah.
Let's just be fair there. So this one's, the next one's a long one, so stick with me on this one. You are in a prison, and the sadistic wardens have forbidden you access to RPGs. Trading in all your cigarettes and some boss handies, you get a smuggler to agree to secrete in some RPG books for you. But he's a filthy casual, and when you open the package he was hiding inside of his butt, you discovered is a secondhand copy of Riffs, with scribbles left by some dumb wiener kid all over the book that you have ruined, that have ruined all of the player classes except for Glitter Boy. It has all the dice and the pencils. You have already hyped up the whole RPG thing to your two cellmates, Manuel Icepick Jimenez, a 400-pound gang with gang tattoos, doing two life sentences for a truly brutal schizophrenic episode-induced street murder, and James Twitches Stokes, a toothless meth addict doing a 25-year stretch for possession with intent and aggravated assault. He likes to show you his shiv that he's made whenever you're alone with him, and they are stoked. They just can't wait to get their game on. What do you do?
All right.
You've written Rifts, so you're answering this one.
It's really easy. Rifts is great. The world is great. The rules are miserable. So what you do is you just you tell them about the Rifts world. You're like, oh, dude, this is how it is. It's fucking post-apocalyptic. It's like Mad Max and shit. There's fucking robots and mutants and all sorts of shit. You just tell them, ask them what they want to play. You don't show them the fucking rules, and you just give them character sheets, and you just have them roll D20s for everything. Problem solved. Everyone will like it. I ran a Rifts game. We used almost none of the rules. Everyone still talks about that campaign. They still love it.
James is
sitting there
going,
still their most favorite fucking.
He scratched himself. He's like, is there meth in this game?
Yeah.
Can I do, like, meth in the game?
You sure can.
All right. I'm up for this meth game.
You can have super meth, actually.
Super meth.
You could make that guy a juicer, which is a fucking, like, drug amped, like, superhuman.
But the only character sheet that's left is Glitter Boy.
That's the thing. You don't need the character. Like, characters are meh. There's like, it's just a skill set and then gear. Rifts is really fucking weird because, like, the character classes are, for the most part, fucking irrelevant.
Who wrote the rules for Rifts?
Was it Kevin Sabetia?
Yeah.
Rifts was a fantastic game when it came out. You know, it was super popular. It was crushing D&D. It was like a rising star in the RPG world.
Rising and then falling.
There was never another edition of Rifts. So it's just like, he's like, we're going to stick to this rule set forever. And it's just so broke. But Rifts is fun. And if you use the Rifts world is fucking cool. It's just, it's a kitchen sink, but it's awesome. Like, the idea is sweet.
Can I be a cowboy meth dealer?
And you could be what?
Cowboy meth dealer.
Yeah.
All right.
You actually could. You could probably find a class that's almost exactly like that.
I want to be like
Rifts West.
I want to be like Daryl from The Walking Dead. Can I be Daryl from The Walking Dead?
I think you would be a vagabond. So yes.
A vagabond.
That's the OCC. That's the occupational character class.
The other guy's like, I would like to be a traveling minstrel.
you can actually just use the bard from the Palladium Fantasy RPG and just transplant it into Rifts because the cross compatibility of all their systems. Jesus Christ. The cross compatibility of all their
Steve
systems.
Steve got really
thing.
Animated there and hit his microphone.
And, so, like, for the most part, like, the fucking classes don't matter because it's a busted percentage skill point system, and, like, you don't allocate points. It's like your skills start at this percentage and they go up this percentage every level, and you gain. The character classes are really front loaded. So, like, when you level in Rifts, it's kind of like, okay. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, leveling in Rifts is pretty meh. And because of the way the game works, like, even hit points is pretty irrelevant because a human has SDC and you have, like, an average of, like, 40 tops. And there's mega damage in the game. And 1 point of mega damage is 100.
Mega damage.
Right, is 100 SDC. So if you have no armor and you're a human and someone shoots you with a laser pistol, you're just dead.
Ooh,
like,
fun.
You're just fucking dead. So the way you can combat this is you can, like, buy cybernetics and stuff. So even gaining hit points is not relevant because eventually you just be like, yeah, I have so much cybernetics in my body. Like, when I gain a level, the hit points I gain aren't even a thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, Rifts is fucking goofy, but it's cool. And if you just stay in the world and you just GM like a boss, and when the players want to do something, you just tell them to roll a d20 and just make up shit, people will really like it.
Well, Timothy, there was your problem. You picked Rifts. You should have picked Battletech or Robotech.
Yeah, if you picked a game I wasn't familiar with, it would be, it'd be a lot harder.
Yeah, you should have just picked Robotech, and then I would have said that all your characters had no limbs.
Robotech is actually also the... Robotech is also the Rifts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Battletech is the one where you can roll and be paraplegic.
Okay, so yeah, Battletech. Yeah,
that's Battletech.
Everyone's a paraplegic in Battletech, or quadriplegic in Battletech. You get nothing.
There's one where, I believe there's one where you end up in a coma. Like, your character's just in a... You start the game, and your character's in a coma.
How dumb... What? All right, and his final part is...
It's for the realistic simulation.
As we all know, two of the Emperor's glorious Primarchs were lost to the warp. As the new CEO of Games Workshop, you decide to bring them back into canon as massive marketing stunt. Who are they, and what are their Space Marine Legions called?
Well, you're first.
Okay. My guys would be the Emperor's Dandies.
The Emperor's Dandy Boys?
The Emperor's Dandy Boys.
That's old school.
They would have lots of frill, lots of lace. And they would pretty much, yeah, everything would just be carriages with horses.
What's the Primarch named?
I don't know. I'll have to come up with something clever in a second. You go.
All right. So,
I barely read any of these beforehand, so I don't have any prepared statements.
Let me think. I didn't read them at all. Okay. I actually avoided looking at them for the most part. I only saw the pictures of us. Let me think. My Primarch.
My guy's name is Dandylus Buttlusus.
I think it should be Buttlusus Dandylus.
Yeah, Buttlusus Dandius.
Yeah, Dandius.
Buttlusus Dandius.
Buttlusus Dandius.
Ooh, that's good. Chaos is afoot. To the carriages, boys.
All right, so I'm the CEO of GW, and I'm making a new Space Marine chapter. Okay.
Well, no, this is one of the lost chapters. This is one of the originals.
Right.
Yes.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm revitalizing Space Marines as the CEO of GW. Okay, so. My Primarch's name is Signaris.
Okay.
And his Space Marines are the Space Swans.
Okay.
And their colors are blue and gold.
Okay.
And they use a lot of electrified weaponry.
Okay.
Like Tesla guns, and they have their librarians shoot electricity was one of their psychic powers.
Okay.
And they are heavily involved in the use of dreadnoughts.
Okay.
And their dreadnoughts are completely unique to the space ones.
Okay.
They're more humanoid. They have hands and feet, and they're big. And they're actually kind of look diesel powered almost. They have like smokestacks coming out of the back.
I finally got what you're talking about for a second.
Lots of Tesla technology. And then their librarians can actually activate a psychic power to boost the ability of the dreadnoughts of the space ones. And Signaris himself is super busted. Signaris actually has a special ability that no other character in 40K is going to have, which is a once per game power. And when you do the once per game power, something really powerful happens. Like everything within 12 inches like gets an extra movement or something. Or... So, you know, along those lines. So that would be my goal, to revitalize Warhammer 40,000.
I like how you picked like the worst out of all of those RPGs.
Games Workshop CEO.
Signaris. It took me a second to realize what you're
right. That's my IP.
Because when you were talking with that, I was just like, okay, Signar the Swan, you know, the whole thing. And I'm just like, okay. I'm like, wait a second. What's he getting at here? It took me a while.
There you go.
Okay. This one's from Anthony Carroll, of course, longtime listener. As the Cool Mini or Not crew are trying to become you and Steve when you are going to reach for the when are you going to reach for the cease and desist letter? We get a rambling cast with little gaming content with little gaming content, singing character voices, etc. Amateur, but they are trying hard. So Cool Mini or Not podcast. Did you see this?
I didn't.
I did look at this one because I was like, what the hell is this? So they are trying to be us. Now,
I mean, that's pretty arrogant to say.
I appreciate it, but there was like, I was just like, holy crap, these guys are really trying to be us.
I mean, I think that's a little full of ourselves.
No, dude, this is like holy shit, what are they doing here? I was a little insulted, mainly because it was like they were trying to be us without any of like, and Andrew McCall says this, because they're trying to be game classy, but without pushing any boundaries. It's too safe and proper to be entertaining. Like, that was the thing, is like, they were doing like all stuff like, hey, you ever see Robotech? And I'm just, I know, not Robotech. Have you ever seen RoboCop? And I'm just like, okay, where are they going with it? They don't talk about penises at all. They don't talk about anything, you know, no butt stuff. Or
so no weird butt stuff?
No weird butt
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so they're clean classy.
They're clean classy, which is just like, this is just insulting. Like, why would you do this? Like, that's our charm, is the fact, like, we do this stuff and we're also vile and filthy people.
I'm going to throw it out there and say that they probably never heard our podcast ever.
No.
Have no idea who the fuck we are.
No.
Because nobody does.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like the fact that they probably have far more listeners than we ever do, because it's Kumani or not.
Exactly.
And people are like, I wonder if they'll talk about Zombicide.
So I'd be willing to bet that at some point down the line, someone's going to leave us a comment. They're going to be like, these guys are a total ripoff of the Kumani podcast. And then it'll all come full circle.
It'll all come full circle. These guys don't talk about Zombicide enough.
Did you see that post on the Planet Arbitrary page? The guy was talking on us about us. He commented on the last podcast.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
He said, I can't remember what it was, but he said something about Beavis and Butthead intro.
Oh.
And I corrected his spelling on Beavis.
Oh, that was on the YouTube page. Yeah, that was on the YouTube page.
Beavis.
Oh, no, that was on the, that was actually on the Planet Arbitrary.
Because I can't comment on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right. You can't comment on YouTube.
You got to cover the YouTube front.
I thought you used to cover. You can't cover on YouTube?
I can't comment on YouTube. You have all access to the account.
Yeah, but you just can't comment on it. You can comment on it.
Comment on as
game classy,
right.
Yeah.
I can't respond to people as the channel.
Yes,
that's
true.
So that's you have that.
Yes,
the coverage is all you.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, is like, I don't care if people don't like us, but don't steal our bit, man. That's all we got.
He stole my bit.
These guys really did.
You saying they Dane cooked us?
They Dane cooked us. They Carlos Mencia'd us.
Don't bring Carlos Mencia around me.
It's true. You and him have a beef from way back.
We do. We have a way beef. Me and that fat guy.
You mean the fluffy guy?
Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy in his face. That guy's the least funny. Like, he was so not funny, it made me uncomfortable. That, like, not uncomfortable because of the content of his jokes or what he was saying, but, like, I'm just like, holy, like, I'm uncomfortable how, like, because this guy's clearly trying and people are laughing. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Like, no.
Well, always like I love
stand-up's fucking miserable.
I love stand-up, and I
only like Jim Gaffigan.
Well, Jim Gaffigan's really good, but like, there's the people that are really, really.
You can tell he really likes cake.
Hot pocket. But yeah, the people who are really truly popular, like, there's like comedians who are like really good. I mean, and everyone knows them, like John Mulaney and Louis C.K. and Bill Burr and all of them. They have really good stand-up sets.
I don't think Louis C.K. is funny at all.
Well, I mean, the personal choice, whatever. But these guys are like the top of their game. But the people who are truly like the most successful comedians are people like Carlos Mencia and that fluffy guy and Jeff Dunham and Dane Cook.
Well, yeah, because they appeal to like the southern half of the United States, which is like the dumbest area you could be.
What they appeal to is just the masses as a whole. Their comedy is not designed to have bite. Their comedy is designed to just...
It's designed to go down smooth and easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you think, because the last thing people want to do is think.
Yeah, I mean, like, and you could say that about a lot of famous, like, even Seinfeld is very much in that vein where he's...
You take that fucking back.
I'm
right
sorry,
now.
But Seinfeld's comedy is very funny, but it's
oh, wait,
very
stand-up?
Yeah, it's very mass marketed.
I've never actually seen... I've never seen Jerry do stand-up, ever.
No?
I've just seen the show.
Just the beginning.
Oh, what's the deal with airline peanuts?
I mean, why is it falling off the wagon? You should get back onto the wagon. That's when you start drinking again. Seinfeld's comedy.
So good.
It's the show. The show stands up. 100% the show.
Yeah.
And the show's bad, too. It's like... It's really like you see the jokes from a mile and a half away.
So fucking great.
But it hits, and I don't know why. I can't understand.
It's the delivery.
It really is the delivery.
It's the delivery. I mean, that's the most important. Like, the thing, because, okay, so that's just comedy. Because if I say, you know, knock, knock, you say, who's there? And I say orange, and you say orange, and you say banana, right? Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of jokes rely on that, like, suspense and then the line,
it's
and you're
timing.
Like, ha, 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 ha.
It's, I think,
but it only works once. You know, most jokes lose their luster and aren't funny.
Yeah.
But if your delivery is perfect, and if you can already suspect what the joke is going to be, and then the delivery is perfect, it'll be repeatedly funny. So, like, every time Kramer slides into fucking Jerry's apartment, even if you've seen him do the exact same slide before, it's still pretty funny because you're just like, eh. Like, look at him. He's fucking sliding.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, a lot of comedy on TV, like, the best type of comedy relies on two things, which is timing and delivery. Timing, I think, is more important than anything.
And that's why I think I hate so many sitcoms. Like, I hate them. And it's because they don't have what Seinfeld had, which is just, like, the natural delivery. Like, everyone's delivery was on point.
Well, their delivery was anything but natural.
Every one of the actors' natural ability to land their delivery on point.
Yeah.
Before they put it in the can. That's because, like, everything else feels really, all the other sitcoms I've seen feel really forced. Like, well, the one with Doogie Howser, I fucking hate that one. I don't know what the one it like.
How I Met Your Mother. I actually liked it.
I thought the jokes always fell flat. The fucking laugh track was brutal, and oh my god,
laugh tracks are brutal.
It's like the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, well, the Big Bang Theory
is like the most forced joke of all time.
Yeah, well, Big Bang Theory is so popular. It's just it's like fighting the tides.
But I mean, whatever, dude. The Simpsons still has fucking insane ratings. So what the fuck do people know?
All right, moving on. Andrew McColl, also a longtime listener. Belle of Lost Souls, valuable source of gamer news and hobby articles, or shameless ploy to generate page clicks and ad views through rumors, clickbait articles, and seemingly willful misleadings of the hobby community. This question is not at all related to them blocking me from their Facebook page after I posted a link to your last podcast.
Belle of Lost Souls is absolutely made of 100% clickbait.
Yeah.
Content on there is sometimes there. But the amount of content on Belle of Lost Souls is maybe one in every 10 articles at best.
Yeah, they're like, what's the fuck's that?
They're like Fate.
No. Well, Fate, yeah. But what's that article? What's that one website that's just nothing but clickbait? Fuck, they always do the lists.
Oh, BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed. Yeah, Belle of Lost Souls is the BuzzFeed of the gaming world.
Except they don't have entertaining lists.
They don't have entertaining lists at all. Like, if they did, like
top 10 Space Marine chapters that betrayed the Emperor.
then they would be we should do that. Oh, my God. We would have so many fucking page views if we just started doing articles like that.
Just game feed?
Yeah.
Is there a website called Game Feed? Now's the time.
I'll do it to the Planet Arbitrary page. We'll just turn it into, like, a BuzzFeed-style clickbait. I mean,
you should steal everything about BuzzFeed. Everything.
And just turn it into, like, make it 40K? About games. Yeah, 40K in gaming.
No, just games.
Okay.
So, like, do everything about games. So, like, do a top 10 list of, like, a D&D thing or, like, Magic the Gathering.
No. It would have to be something like top 5 meeples available. And it would just be like the red meeple, white meeple, green meeple, blue meeple.
Yeah. No. You have to.
I think you could
do it for reals. And you could just make it like.
I know you could do it for reals, but then it would involve me like actually putting thought into articles. And I don't want to do that. I want to do something like top 10 Space Marine chapters that betrayed the Emperor.
Saying that BuzzFeed puts thought into their articles is pretty generous.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is I don't want to put any thought into my article.
Bulls is garbage. Fucking trash. Like, there's one out of every few articles is actually good content, but sifting through all the garbage to find that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no point in it anymore.
There's so many of their articles about, like, dude, when Age of Sigmar was, like, first releasing, oh, my God, Bulls was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, the place is generally pretty much a nightmare.
But it was real bad. And they keep doing articles like, is Age of Sigmar, like, the amount of times they've produced the article that says, is Age of Sigmar doing great or is it dead, is once a day.
it really is.
Yeah, it's so fucking bad.
And then
I believe also Bulls was the culprits behind the team that already had the $1,000 Titan that went and won the Gladiator tournament with the $1,000 Titan to win another $1,000 Titan. Sorry, I believe that that happened.
Titans.
Yeah, it was Titans. Pretty funny.
Okay, so Ian Davies. I wonder if he's related to Ray Davies of the Kinks. I'm so excited for the new Star Wars. No amount of abuse can douse the flame of my desire, but please try for our entertainment. If it helps, I'll say I love Darth Maul.
Darth Maul! I don't know, dude. Fuck Star Wars, Darth man. Maul! I'm so fucking sick of Star Wars. There's fucking Star Wars everything.
Star Wars douche?
I'm waiting for it. There's the Star Wars cover girl line. Do you know what makes it Star Wars? It's a Star Wars on the packaging.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, I think that they got
a little?
No.
I think fucking merchandising is
insane.
the most ludicrous I've ever seen for anything.
Like, I watch.
Think of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Think of how much money the Avengers made. Not two, the first.
Yeah.
How popular that movie was. I believe it's the number one grossing film of all time.
No. Avatar still is.
Avatar still beats it? Okay. So what is it, number two?
I'd have to look, but right. it's pretty high up there.
Okay. It's high enough to be considered for like the top five, maybe top ten. Giant movie. And what merchandise tie-in is the Avengers? The standard shit. Like the toys, the jackets, you know, like kids stuff. Your birthday sets, I'm sure, napkins, whatever.
It actually goes here you go. Avatar, Titanic, Jurassic World, the Avengers.
Wow, Jurassic World's number three?
Yeah, it just beat up. The Avengers used to be number three.
Just so you know.
Do they really? Fuck.
Yeah.
All right. So it's just like Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, but Star Wars is like ridiculous at this point. The amount of crap for Star Wars.
Maybe it's because everything's coming at once.
It really is.
Because I guess a lot of stuff.
It's also pretty difficult. You have to remember that Star Wars is coming out in 3 weeks. So.
Yeah. Fuck.
You're going to go see it.
I didn't say I wasn't going to go see it. Of course I have to go see it. Dude, I need ammo.
You need ammo.
I need ammo.
You're going to watch it. You're going to be like, I love this movie.
Yeah, I'm be like, fuck. I mean, it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. I like those stormtroopers. The God, New Order.
Gwendolyn Christie is really cool. Captain Phasma.
According to the power of myth.
The power of myth. The best is the fucking articles that's like trending every so often. Where it's like George Lucas says, this is not my vision for Star Wars. And it's just like, okay.
My favorite, my most recent favorite thing with Star Wars are the articles that are like, are the prequels really that bad?
Yes.
Yes, they are. But the funny
thing is... They're worse than that.
The funny thing is like these people trying to put forth these arguments, like the Darth Jar Jar argument, where it's like they'll say like, well, this is really in this scene that you're learning this. I'm like, no, that's not what they're explaining at all in this
fan
scene.
Fan theories are the fucking worst.
They are.
On about anything. Anything. Fan theories are the fucking worst. Just completely dog shit.
If you have a fan theory, keep it to yourself. And you can have your own little fun fan theories. You don't need to put it out there.
It's just a conspiracy theorist, except even worse.
Well, because they're trying to justify something that's bullshit.
Right. They're trying to figure out. They're grasping. They're literally grasping at straws.
Yes.
They're getting sucked underground. There's a packet of straws, and they're reaching for it.
Well, Scott Anderson, the next one, has something that's very similar.
Fuck you for being excited about Star Wars. But you know what? I really hope it sucks, so you are personally devastated when you leave the theater.
Ian Davies, take that and tell your Uncle Ray I really liked a couple of his albums.
Yeah, the Cars are a great band.
Uh-oh.
Dun, 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 dun. You like the nightlife, baby.
Oh, man, the Cars are pretty decent. Actually, they're a good best of band.
Yeah.
You don't want all their
There's
albums.
There's a lot of best of bands.
I mean, you could...
Huey Lewis is a great best of band.
No, Car... what's
Sports?
Sports is an amazing
Sports
album.
Sports is a really good album.
Yeah. So Scott Anderson was very similar. While I hope the new Star Wars movie will be good, I am tired of hearing about it from my peers. It's like they've tied their happiness for the entire year to a movie blowing their minds. I agree with Steve somewhat in that if it sucks, at least this shit will come to an end. What I find is that nostalgia has overtaken my peers' ability to think rationally about Star Wars, but also other things. I know you are probably sick of this particular nostalgia, but have you recently experienced other disappointing nostalgia-related moments?
You first.
God, so many.
Recent, though.
Probably any of the remakes that have come out or sequels that are like way overdue. The biggest probably disappointed I've been for like, and I've been on a nostalgia kick was Crystal Skull. Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull was so bad.
That's dubious to be called recent though.
I know. Maybe Star Trek Into Darkness was pretty bad too, mm-hmm. but I don't think that was because I really enjoyed the 2009 movie and I think it still holds up. So I don't think that's a nostalgia boner too much.
I actually think, Into Darkness is made worse if you've seen Wrath of Khan. If you were a big fan of the originals and you really like Wrath of Khan, Into Darkness is not as good of a movie as it is standalone. Like, if you haven't, because I tried to watch the movie not tainted by my knowledge of Wrath of Khan, and like, as long as you ignore the things that are put in there as like tongue in cheek, like, hey, guess what they're doing? Look, it's just like the thing, except different. As long as you ignore the blatant things that did there, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
it's not as bad as like, but it's really hard to separate yourself from like your knowledge of what they're referencing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's really tough.
That's like the problem with the RoboCop remake. And like even the Total Recall remake, like those movies.
I didn't see the Total Recall remake. I saw the RoboCop remake, and the RoboCop remake, I don't know. The easiest way I can explain it is I thought that movie was pretty good, but it wasn't RoboCop.
Well, that's the thing, is like a lot of these movies like this should be called something different. Yeah, like the Total Recall one was great, but it should have been called We Can Remember For It Whole You Wholesale,
yeah,
which is the name of the Philip K. Dick right. book, which it's a little more referencing than the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, Get Your Ass to Mars.
That movie's great.
That movie's fantastic. And that's Total Recall. This movie was not Total Recall, but it was a decent movie in and of itself, and if it wasn't called Total Recall, I think more I would have enjoyed it a little bit.
Who directed RoboCop? Was it Gus Van Sant?
No, that was...
It was a German guy for sure. Not
it's
the new
Gus
one.
Gus Van Sant.
I don't even know who Gus Van
Sant
is.
If it was Gus Van Sant, it would have been a RoboCop sitting in a room talking about going on a school shooting.
I don't even know who Gus Van Sant is.
He's a director.
Well, yeah, I don't know what he's directed.
He does a lot of indie films.
I told you, dude.
He also did Good Will Hunting.
My ability to unless they're like Steven Spielberg or Christopher Nolan, my ability to remember who directs things or even know who directs things, generally, I have no fucking clue.
It was Verhoeven. Paul Verhoeven directed RoboCop.
Okay. See, I knew it was German.
I don't even know if Paul Verhoeven is
I think
German.
Verhoeven is a German name.
I think it's Dutch, actually.
Dutch people just say they're from Germany. They don't want to admit they're from Dutch
land. You want to hear Dutchland? You want to hear
just
a secret?
Close to Deutschland.
I hope we have some Dutch listeners, because I'm going to spill their secret right now. There is no Dutch language. It's just gibberish they make up when foreigners are around.
Nice.
Yes.
So what do they speak to each other? German?
Oh, they speak English because it's the superior language.
I see. I think anyway, but and I don't mean it's like it's not RoboCop as in like the nostalgia is different. It's just but that movie is not at all what RoboCop was about. Like RoboCop was about like corporations being completely out of control and the like tongue in cheek of it all. Like that was the problem. Like RoboCop's funny.
Yeah, it's a satire.
Yeah. There's nothing satirical about the new RoboCop. It's like a straight like
action
stone faced action sci-fi movie.
Yeah, and I mean but that's the thing is like I have decided that I'm not going to see a remake or any sequel that's not like, I shouldn't say an immediate sequel, but like I'm not going to go see Terminator Genesis because it's too long. It's been too long. I don't want to see
Terminator Genesis. That was all right. I know a lot of people like gave that movie infinite shit, but I thought it was a very entertaining action movie. And like people are bitching about the storyline, and I'm like, it's fucking Terminator. Like,
yeah,
what?
But Crystal Skull was the last time that I went and I saw. I was like excited to see it because I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fucking great. And that movie was garbage. Grade A Steven Spielberg garbage. And Spielberg puts out good movies. I like Spielberg movies, but that movie was nothing but garbage.
What's I'm trying to think. I actually haven't had like a nostalgia blowout.
Like something, something you've been like excited about in the past, and you're like, oh man, I can't wait for the female Ghostbusters movie.
I mean, that movie will probably be funny. Like all those chicks are funny, so it'll probably be fine.
Yeah, I just once again, it's like I just wish it wasn't Ghostbusters. I just wish it was anything else.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't care. Like I'll watch it. Like it seems fine. Like it's a comedy. Like all the people getting their fucking panties in a twist over Ghostbusters, like it's this amazing like legacy of like product. It's like, dude, it's one movie.
Two movies.
Like, it's a movie and a fucking cartoon. Yeah, that's right. Can't forget about Janusz. Yeah. It's fucking two movies and a cartoon. Like what the fuck? Like
you can't forget about Viggo with the Carpathians.
He's suffering from Carpathian kitten loss. Ghostbusters 2 is an underrated movie.
It hits more than it misses, but it still misses a lot.
It's underrated though.
Yeah.
It's underrated.
I think it's perfectly rated, like where it's at.
People say the movie sucks.
Yeah, a lot of people say that Wayne's World 2 sucks, and I like Wayne's World 2.
Wayne's World 2 is the one with the fucking karate fight, right?
He's yes.
Like, you will die. Yeah.
Where he's fighting Cassandra's dad, yeah.
That movie is funny.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny, but it hits more than it misses, but it still misses quite a bit.
I don't know. So I haven't actually had a huge nostalgia blowout at this time. But I don't get super stoked about, like... The movies I get super stoked, like the last time I've been super stoked to go see a movie was Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The, I think.
Oh, actually, you know what? It's not a nostalgia blowout, but Crimson Peak. I really was disappointed by Crimson Peak.
I saw Crimson Peak. We talked about that briefly. Here's my problem with Crimson Peak. And I went and saw it and I was just like.
First, I want you to admit that I was right. You didn't trust me.
You're not 100% right, but here, let me just explain. But you are partially right. That movie was not the movie I wanted it to be. The movie that it was was an amazing movie, but it was not the movie I wanted it to be.
It's not the movie you were sold as either.
No, not at all. I was like, oh man, I can't wait to see a ghost story. And then that opening sequence where she's like, it's not a ghost story. It's a story with a ghost. I was like, God damn it. I should have known this from the beginning. As soon as there was not enough ghosts in there. There was not enough murder.
Dude, the ghosts were on screen for like maybe 2 minutes.
I know. And that's the funny thing is that it was you might not know this, but it was a dark gothic story. Yeah, it was like a Byron poem.
It was a Victorian horror story.
It wasn't even a Victorian horror story. It was a Byron poem. It was gothic. That's what it was designed to be. It was like a Mary Shelley, straight up, a Lord Byron.
Which as goes by its box office performance, shows that people don't want that.
But here's the thing.
But people also don't want shitty jump scare movies because the last Paranormal Activity bombed.
Well, it also bombed because no theaters were showing it because they put it on VOD like a week later. The Crimson Peak should have been advertised as a gothic horror. It should have been advertised as like, hey, you know, this is... It should have been advertised as it was, because my wife would have actually really liked that movie, but she thought it was going to be a scary ghost movie.
I think if they didn't actually do any reference to ghosts in the trailers at all and just made it look like a Victorian like mystery.
Yeah.
And then just release the movie the same way, it probably would have been better received, because then people would have been, because there's the anticipation of like, I'm going to see a horror movie.
Yeah.
And then when you see it, you're like, that wasn't a horror movie. And then you get pissed. And you're like, that movie sucked.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a horror movie.
And that's the thing.
And
is like,
it fails at being a horror movie. It's not a horror movie. It would be.
Yeah. And that's my part is like, I don't think that the movie sucked. It was not the movie I wanted it to be.
Yeah. I mean, but again, like I said, I mean, the movie's visually brilliant. The direction is fantastic. You know, it looks great. Are we not recording?
No, we're recording.
Okay. that would have been a blowout.
Yeah, I would have been pissed. All right. So, but we're getting towards the end here. We just got a couple more. So Rob Hawkins blog. I really wish you guys would still play mini games.
Sorry, I got too many card games to play.
You know what, Rob Hawkins? When you stop playing 8th edition fantasy, then we'll talk.
Oh,
damn, because you don't play.
Rob doesn't play. He just paints models.
He paints lots and lots of models.
He paints lots of great quality models. Yeah,
he designs them for a game that should not exist anymore.
It
should be wiped from existence.
So many daggers. I'll be in a minis games again soon. I just gotta get my groove back.
Gotta get your groove back. Once Stevie got his groove back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had like a... I'm not a consistent miniatures painter. But I hit like a twitch, like I need to paint moment. And then like, I just like annihilate through a bunch of models. And then I just stop and I'm like, I don't ever want to look at another miniature again in my life. And I put it all back in the closet.
You know me, I painting every, I just finished off my 4th army for bolt action. So
that is sad.
I know. Anthony Pizzera says, hey, Anthony Pizzera. Hey,
Anthony Pizzeria.
Yeah, Pizzeria. Why are you guys such teases and won't open the Kingdom Death black box of Fails Fun Times?
When I saw that, I was just like, oh man, that box is just fucking staying in the closet.
You're the worst human being ever.
Yes.
Every time I get something new, I bring it in, play with it. All right, Brett Miles. Kill, Fuck, Marry, Gaming Edition. Rick Priestley, Andy Chambers, Alessio Cavatori. Go.
I would kill Andy Chambers.
Okay. I agree with you there.
He's like the worst. Okay. What were the two?
Fucking Marry.
Alessio and who was?
Rick Priestley.
Fuck Alessio, marry Rick Priestley. I think Rick Priestley would really appreciate it.
And you know, it's I could go either way on that, because I bet you Alessio is a very gentle lover.
I bet Alessio, what do you mean? That's just fuck. Because like, I think Alessio would be bad to be married to, because he's like
Italian.
He's like aloof and Italian.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't.
But he can make you a nice pasta.
Yeah, but I don't think he would have like the kind of commitment that Rick Priestley would have. And I know Rick Priestley would have a great rule set for our marriage.
Yes, he would have a great rule set for our marriage. I don't know. Alessio's rule sets are pretty good, as long as we don't do any sort of like FAQs on it.
I mean, Alessio's rule sets are generally pretty good. Alessio, his biggest issue is he doesn't. I think, I don't know, I have no idea how he creates his rule sets, but Alessio always has, there's a glaring flaw, but it's usually takes a while to find. Like, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it takes a while. Like Kings of War first edition, for example, the war machines were so broken in that game. But it didn't really look like that until you actually put them on the table and played with a shit like a spam. Because if you took a normal amount, like two or three, you'd be like, wow, war machines are, you know, pretty decent. But if you played against an army that was like maxed out war machines, you're like, oh, this is broken. So it took like 2 years for people to figure that out. Like, it was super fucking busted. Also, there's only like 20 people playing Kings of War, so it takes a little while for that kind of shit to get busted. So Rick Plesy, he made Warmaster.
It's true.
That's my bacon and eggs.
Bacon eggs. Raza, I have the first two models of the gamer line made. These concepts are the Rules Lawyer and the Power Gamer. These two guys are based off of our two podcasters. As this line of models becomes more fleshed out, villains became surface along the side of the gamers. The sadistic game master comes to light with the deadliest weapons that the gamers ever faced. The GM notes the filthy casual, while not much of a threat one at a time, but not much of a
GM notes are the GM's weapon.
Yeah. The filthy casual, while not much of a threat one at a time, but not much of a threat in large groups either. And the pompous elitists, these corrupted gamers, want nothing more than to ruin the games for everyone but the other elitists. And then he puts the two models, which I look similar to Steve and myself.
I believe I am the one with the book.
Yes.
And you are the one with the sword and shield.
Yeah. my only comment on this, Raza, I know you listen, is that you should add the full mustache to the guy with the shield and the mace, just because Steve has a little bit of a mustache, but you got much more of a chin strap.
Yeah.
I do the full beard. So yeah, it's pretty good.
They're fucking great. I love them. I saw that and I was just like, that's the fucking greatest thing I've ever seen.
If you could give him the mustache, it'd be like 100% on key. And also, we both need katanas.
No, I like mine now, where I'm just, I have the fucking the shit-eating grin on my face, like pointing to the book, like, you idiot, this is the rule. Fucking great.
My question is for the gamers line, would you like to see this as a model game or an RPG?
I'd like to see them stat blocked for RPGs.
I think our stat block for RPGs would be pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because being able to like put it into like I would do like the standard like Pathfinder and then like Osric stat blocks, because being able to plug it into a fucking RPG would be the funniest thing ever.
What I was thinking would actually be kind of a cool idea, though. Think about this, though. Think about it as a dungeon crawl game. Now, what you do is you have your map, but the map is like either of like a house or like a like your mom's basement or like a convention hall. And your guys have to go through the convention hall and they get like, you know, spammed by like gamers or something.
You could also do a meta map where you open up the board and it looks like a table. So there's like Cheetos and shit on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it looks like a drawn map. And then like you can have like a soda spill on it. And then like you move your models on the map.
That works cool. I was thinking kind of like a dungeon crawl where you go into a room and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, you got a bunch of elitist gamer. You spawn three noobs and a
three noobs
and a power gamer, three noobs and a guy who plays Pathfinder. Go.
The guy's still playing Dungeons and Dragons first edition.
Yeah,
the Grognar.
But yeah, they look fantastic.
Yeah, I was so excited when I saw those. I was just like, oh my god,
oh my god,
that's the best.
Paul Beckus, using card sleeves is for soft cocks. Discuss.
Absolutely not. Card sleeves are fantastic.
Yeah, what are you, some kind of plebeian?
I can't see Hyperman. Yeah.
Yeah, of course you're going to have card
sleeves. I mean, if you're using like those crappy-ass Ultra Pro soft sleeves that are like 10 cents for a pack of 100, then yes, those are miserable. But if you use real big boy card sleeves, they're great.
Yeah.
But I use them for CCGs, so I don't know if exactly he was, maybe he was referring to board game card sleeves.
Could be.
Which, I don't play enough board games that have that many cards.
I play a lot that have cards, but even then, but it's like...
do you shuffle them? Because that's the thing, you only really want sleeves if you're shuffling the cards.
Yeah, you do, but not as much.
Because, like, I mean, I have, like,
Magic...
my deck building games are sleeved.
Yeah.
Because they're card games.
Yeah.
But, like, if I, like, for, crap, I'm trying to fucking think, perfect. Portrayal at House on the Hill. That has cards. They're like a really weird size, but like I wouldn't sleeve them because...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of those card games, you don't need to sleeve your cards.
Yeah, I mean, Betrayal's
but
like...
If you're playing a CCG or a game that's going to involve shuffling on a...
Repeated shuffling. That's like with Betrayal, you shuffle the cards once. When you play it each time, and that's no big deal. But like if you, in a deck building game or things where you need to put the deck back together and shuffle again and again, it's nice. Also, it's easier. Well, for me, I don't know about normal people, but like I've been shuffling sleeved card game cards for so long. The difference between me shuffling just raw cards or sleeved cards, like it's so much easier for me to shuffle sleeved cards.
Nice. Okay, last one, Jason Yarborough. Which is best, War Master, War of the Ring, or Kings of War? This is kind of a... I could put them in order.
I think they're already in order.
I might put Kings of War above War of the Ring just because of the glaring problems with War of the Ring, and that Kings of War actually tends to...
Let's rank this. Competitive... I'll do mine.
Okay.
Competitive ranking. Kings of War number one, War Master number two, War of the Ring number three.
Yes.
Fun ranking, like the hard to measure fun. War of the Ring, War Master, Kings of War.
Okay.
The straight, like, how good I think the actual just like rules as written presentation, like off the shelf, how good is this book? How good do the rules look? How good do they, how's their game feel? War Master, War of the Ring, Kings of War. So those are my three ranks for it, because I think it's hard to like compare them all.
I'm just going off the rule system. So if I'm just going off the rule system, I would switch Kings of War and War of the Ring. But if I'm including the models involved with it, I think you're right. War of the Ring would go above Kings of War, just because I don't like Kings of War models.
Right. They're bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fucking bad. Like, yeah. For the most part, they're bad. There's some standouts, and Mantic is getting much better as the years go on. Mantic is getting
better. Their new Lamassu.
Oh, it looks awesome.
That thing, it's just a resculpt of the head of the dragon or whatever they're using. Or
still looks great.
I just like Lamassus. My current Facebook profile picture has me with the big Lamassu.
Are you just the head of the Lamassu?
No, it's a big stone Lamassu over at the Oriental Institute in Chicago.
Nice.
But aside from that, so that's the mail sack wrap up. We're just about done for today.
Wrap up that sack. Sack wrap.
Sack wrap. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at the Game Classy Facebook page, /Game Classy Podcast. That's the best place to get in contact with us and to interact with us. You could also get in contact through me at my email address, which is joe@planetarbitrary.com. And speaking of which, Planet Arbitrary is I had like a whole thing planned out, but whatever, I lost it. The best thing you can do to help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also like, comment, subscribe to Planet Arbitrary podcast, which contains comic book logic, where next week we're going to be putting up The Dark Knight.
And more like The Dark Knight.
More like The Dark Knight. And you could also listen to Play On podcast, which is all about video games, which has Steve and Pat B., the luscious, luscious Pat B.
His luscious lips.
His luscious lips.
Yeah, the last episode, Pat and I argued about RPGs. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. You know what? I don't normally agree with you when it comes to arguments, but Pat's arguments were so out there. I was just like, what is he arguing?
I know.
Yeah, because I do. Yeah. But you could also get in contact with us through the Game Classy Podcast Reddit page, and you could also listen to us on the Game Classy YouTube page. Which is kind of fun if you enjoy listening to it. I don't like doing it that much. But
hey, those clickbait titles are really working out.
They work out for us, man. That's what people get upset with. This has nothing to do with the Age of Sigmar.
Girl.
And the booby girl.
You only did it once, though. Anime girl pictures.
Twice.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. So,
that's right. Barbarossa.
So, Steve, until next time.
I'm going to play some more Fallout right now.